Welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church, located in Evansville, Indiana. Today is Monday, July 31st, 2023. This is edition number 128 of Season 8 as we continue looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith. We're still in Chapter 22. We're coming to the end of it. In fact, we'll finish Chapter 22 in the Tuesday edition, and then I will be taking a break from the devotional until the next edition of the Morning Devotional will return on August 7th, Monday, August 7th, as we begin Chapter 23 of the Civil Magistrate. So just a little bit of a programming note for you that are keeping score at home. And so after the Tuesday edition, I will not release a new one until August 7th, when we begin chapter number 23. But today we come to paragraph number 6 as we continue looking at matters pertaining to religious oaths and vows. Let's pray, and then we'll look at this paragraph. Father, as we again approach your word and approach these very important things, we ask that you would continue to help us and guide us, that we would be people of the truth, we would be people of our word, and that those things that we have vowed to do, we would do, not only with our actions, but with our heart, which precedes all of those things. We ask that you'd give us grace now to understand. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, paragraph number 6 continues its discussion on vows. It simply says, it, that is to say, a vow, is not to be made to any creature, but to God alone, and that it may be accepted. It is to be made voluntarily out of faith and conscience of duty, in way of thankfulness for mercy received or for the obtaining of what we want, whereby we more strictly bind ourselves to necessary duties or to other things so far and so long as they may fitly conduce thereunto. And so Psalm 116, in verse 14, we read there, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Now, this is a corporate expression given by the psalmist. But again, we are reminded that our vows are to be made to God alone. Now, what does that mean as far as just using the church membership vows again as a springboard for discussion? It doesn't mean that you can only make them to God and other people can't hear you. It doesn't mean that as you sit before the elders and you take those five vows of membership, they're to close their ears and not listen. What it does mean is that it is ultimately being made to God only. In other words, you're not vowing to me. I heard the vow, and I will hold you accountable as your pastor, as any faithful pastor would do, to those vows. Other elders in the church would do the same or should do the same. But at the end of the day, the main focus, as I seek to remind you of these things, is that you made these things before the Lord, who was watching and hearing what you said. It is to be made to God alone. And so, again, it doesn't mean that you can't stand before the congregation and answer in the affirmative those vows. But it does mean that you need to recognize that it is ultimately and it is really being made before God and to him, not to any creature or man. And that it may be accepted, it is to be made voluntarily out of faith and conscience of duty. Two aspects here. Yeah, you are to make it in faith, believing that this is the right thing to do, that God would have you do this, and conscience of duty. That is to say that you believe you should perform or keep those things that you have vowed to do. Of course, you do it with thankfulness for mercy received and using the membership vows in the church. Of course, that's very easy to apply, or for the obtaining of what we want, whereby we more strictly bind ourselves to necessary duties or to other things so far and so long as they may fitly conduce themselves, conduce thereunto. Deuteronomy chapter 23 is another proof text that is used in this matter of vows. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse verses 21 to 23. There we read, "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin." That is to say, if you break that vow, you're in sin. And it's vitally important to remember that. "But if you refrain from vowing, you will not be guilty of sin. You should be careful to do what has passed your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth." And so it's important, and using again the membership vows of the church, it's important to keep them. Obviously, you are not required to keep those vows if the elders of the church ask you to sin. You are not required to keep those vows if the elders of the church fall into heresy. But there are very few cases in which you can violate those vows. Now, I recognize the question may come, just what exactly are those cases? I haven't got a clue. Well, I have some clue. But it's really not the scope of this devotional to lay those out. But I think we know in part what that looks like. This session makes it, the elders of the church make a decision that's not sinful. It might even be preferential. For instance, let me just give you a really silly example. The session of the church decides to paint every room in the church black. Now, I don't think any self-respecting person would ever do such a thing, but let's just say for the sake of argument that it happened. Well, do you have a right now under the vows of membership to leave the church? No, you don't. But if the session of the church asks you to sin, violate, clearly violate God's word, then yes, you have that right. I wouldn't suggest you do it immediately. I think there's things you should do to reconcile the matter, but just for the sake of argument, there are things in which the membership do not have to obey. With that said, there are things that the session of the church, the elders of the church, will ask you to do under the rubric of the vows that you took, like be in attendance both morning and evening worship, attend prayer meeting. You should be there. To not do so is to act as independent within the life of the church, and to fail to come under the submission of the men who are charged with the spiritual well-being of your life. But again, there are other circumstances that matter falls into. However, there are some in which you could be released from that vow altogether. But for the sake of our discussion here in paragraph 6, just remember that we make this vow ultimately, and we do make it to God. We do it out of conscience, of duty, and faith. And we strictly bind ourselves to those things that we might keep them faithfully before the Lord. So this is serious business. Sadly, in the church today, whether it's a Presbyterian church or otherwise, people are too easy. They dispense with their vows way too quickly and way too easily. I've witnessed it as a pastor multiple times, and it frankly never ceases to amaze me. But what I do know, and apparently those people have forgotten, or they know and don't care, is that God is watching. And when you break a vow before the Lord, it is a serious, serious thing. And you ought not expect any blessing from Him when you do such a thing. Now, people go about their lives, and God is often more gracious to us than we deserve, but the fact remains, He could just shut His ears to your prayers altogether. He may choose not to bless you in any way until you reconcile that problem. But it happens often. And just because it happens all the time doesn't mean it should happen. And it's really sad to see that people who are apparently redeemed of the Lord are not people of the truth. They make commitments, they make vows, and they don't keep them. There's always an out clause. There's always an opportunity to get out from underneath it. Based on preference, usually based on preferences, typically not based on any clear sin on behalf of the leadership of the church or even the pastor. Usually not based on any heresy, but usually based on the fact that they just want to go somewhere else. They don't like this, they don't like that, and so they're just going to go somewhere else where they get their ears tickled, or they find themselves happier, whatever that is. Well, I don't know how you can be happy after violating your vow before the Lord. I don't know how you can be happy. And frankly, if you've done that and you examine that situation, you ought to reconcile it. You ought to make it right. But it happens all the time. And it'll happen again. And it happens. But it doesn't change the fact that it's still a sin before God. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The way to reach me is there before you on the screen. And so until the Tuesday edition, when we look at the final paragraph of chapter 22, and again reminding you that then I will take a break from the devotional until August 7th, when we begin chapter 23. May the Lord help you today. May you be people of your word. May you keep your vows that you have taken before the Lord. And may you walk in His ways. God bless.